This episode of The Podcats is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Wildcat basketball when you can't be at the game. For a free appetizer, text O-Line to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight. 3, 2, 1. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S. Champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Going blue!
C-A-T-S-K-K-K.
Go Kessler.
Let's go.
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
Welcome into another edition of the Podcats. As always, I'm Kenny Colton. With me is Chris Littrell.
Hello, everyone out in the Big Blue Nation.
All right, that was quite a little intro. And I feel like it's well-deserved. Let's do some quick housekeeping as always. Shout out to the O-Line Sports Grill for sponsoring the Podcats. Also, if you do not subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, shame on you. Shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. Do that. Do that right now. Press pause, follow us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and hit play again. Okay, now that we've got all that out of the way, let me just say, Chris, oh my God. Oh my goodness. Last week we had an interesting show. It was a celebratory show. I can't even talk. I'm so excited. But, you know, it was one of those things where we beat Wichita State, and that was big. But that was only to get to the Sweet 16. Now, Kentucky's in the Final Four. The Final Four. I didn't predict this at all, Chris. I'm going to say it. I'm going to admit it right now. You know, right hand to God, I didn't think this team was going to make it that far. I thought highly of Wichita State. I thought we would probably beat Kansas State, and then anything else was gravy. And all of a sudden, we're in the Final Four. The Final Four. I don't know how it happened.
Just the most improbable run that you've seen out of a UK team even a long time. I mean, you go back to that remote we did there about a month ago. It was March 1st, actually, when they got beat on the road in South Carolina, and I'm pretty sure that the consensus at that point was that this team had screwed the pooch and we were in some serious trouble.
We had a whole bar basically like giving up on this team. A whole bar. There was like five or six of us, and we were just, yep, it's over, yep. It's gone. You know, this season is gone. So let's talk about the most recent things. Normally we take these on Sunday, but the Cats played on Sunday. And so, it would have Friday night, Sweet 16 game, defending national champions, arch rival Louisville. Obviously, if you don't know by now, Kentucky won. And we'll talk about that game because that was an amazing game. And then beating the national runner-up last year in Michigan, in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. Two amazing games. I don't know how they played on TV. Here's my humble brag. I went to the games. I was in Indy for both games. And they were beyond belief in person. I don't know how they played on TV. Maybe you can help tell me, was it as magical on TV? Because it was insane in person. I mean, I'm not going to say that I've been to every UK game or every tournament run, and that this outweighs anything else. But it seems like a lot of people are saying these last two games have been ones for the ages. I mean, you're talking history books in terms of just slobber knocker games. So how did it play on TV?
Not just this weekend, but going back to the Wichita State game as well. Three of the most just gut-wrenching, nail-biting, excruciatingly painful games to have to get through as a fan, as I can remember, in a long, long time. Nail-biters, like I said, down to the end. Just I could barely contain myself. Had to change the channel a couple times. Kicked over a a heater from Friday night in the first half of the Louisville game, just going crazy. I think I kind of scared a few people. But also, just down that stretch, just awesome games. I have all three of them still on my DVR. I have watched all three games at least twice. And it's just going to go down as one of the greatest weekends, and including the Wichita State game. It's going to be one of the greatest weeks in the history of Kentucky basketball. Great games to watch. The crowd on TV came through loud and clear. Major Kentucky presence in Indianapolis this weekend. It was very evident on TV. Yeah, just three great games to watch. I usually stand right in front of my TV or sit right in front of the TV. I put a kitchen chair right in front of the TV and sit there about a foot away from the screen. And this was no different. I was pacing back and forth. It was glorious. I mean, the feeling of just jubilation and relief at the end of all three games. It's just been a long time since I've felt that good after these big tournament games. Just to knock off three of last year's Final Four participants in a row, that's never been done before. Just really something special.
I agree wholeheartedly with you about that. It's been amazing. Friday night, I was actually pretty surprised. Louisville got in to Lucas Oil. I mean, they were, I would say it's about 55-45 Kentucky-Louisville. You did have some Tennessee fans, a few Michigan fans, and that was a great game to start, you know, as a prelude to Kentucky-Louisville. I mean, that was, I got in the stadium early enough to watch that game, and that was an amazing game. I thought Michigan had that in the bag, and Tennessee comes back and proves the SEC was not that bad of a basketball conference. But the game Friday night, I never really got worried. And I had like typical douchebag Louisville fan in front of me the whole time. Guy walks in and literally like just starts a conversation with me. He doesn't know me. He's drunk. He didn't have a lined beard, but I'm pretty sure he drank at least two bottles of Crown Royal before he walked in. And the whole time he's cheering for Michigan because he's like, another SEC school is going to lose. Another SEC school is going to lose. He's cheering on UConn. They're showing highlights on the big game, cheering on UConn. And the first thing he's like, I'm talking bullshit all night. I'm just letting you know it's all in good fun. Just talking bullshit all night, which usually you hear those words and just something like, you know, I'm like a cat, you know, I just kind of arch my back and the hair stands up and I'm like, all right, you know, it's first time I'm going to jail, right? Tonight's the night, you know, I'm just like, here it is. And funny thing, side note, someone in our section did get arrested on Friday night. It was a Louisville fan. He hit a Kentucky fan with a cane. And true to Louisville nature, when the cops showed up, also referees in terms of Louisville players, the guy absolutely acted like nothing was going on. Still sat there, watched the game, made the most shocked face in the world when the cops are like, you're coming with me, buddy, after talking to everyone around. The who me face. We saw the who me face. And I was like, that's how you know he's been a Louisville fan his whole entire life. The who me face. So, anyways, Louisville gets up big. I think it was, what, 18-5 or 15-8? Yeah. Louisville comes out firing, and Cal even said in the postgame show he knew the Wildcats were going to, he said, pee. But basically what he wanted to say is they were going to piss their legs and shoot threes. And that's what we were saying in the stands. Why the hell are we shooting threes? But they played, you know. I thought the battle was going to be Luke Hancock versus James Young, and that was going to be the difference in the game. And had that been the difference in the game, Kentucky would lose. Kentucky would have lost. But they didn't. They battled back, got within three at halftime, pretty much got the bigs in foul trouble for Louisville. And as the game went on, it just felt more and more like that Wichita State game. Kentucky was never in the lead. I don't count scoring the first bucket of the game and having a 2-0 lead as really a lead. So Kentucky was never in the lead, and then just suddenly it got close. They never took the lead, but it got close. They kept it close. And next thing you know, Dakari is having the game of his life. Alex Porthris comes out of nowhere when James Young gets in foul trouble. It was a knockout. It was a heavyweight fight. It's one of those old school, like, Ali Frazier fights. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're just beating the shit out of each other in that Louisville-Kentucky game. I mean, they were just throwing haymakers. And luckily, Aaron Harrison threw the biggest haymaker of them all. But that last play, in the stadium, I've never heard a state. I've witnessed a few big UK games. I've never heard a stadium, the air gets sucked out of the stadium. You know how people talk about that? I've never heard that. Have you ever heard that?
I've been to a Kentucky game where they were ranked number one in the country, and Auburn hit a last-second three-pointer to beat them at the buzzers during the Rex Chapman era, and I think I experienced the phenomenon that you're talking about.
So that last play for Kentucky to take the lead on the Aaron Harrison three-pointer, or I guess they had the lead, and that extended it to like about three or four. No, that took the lead. It was they were down one off the Russ Smith, and so that was to take the lead. I think every UK fan, at least the one in our section, saw that coming because Aaron sat up in the corner the entire time. So when Randall got the ball, it was really going to be two options. It was going to be old school Randall, where he tried to make the shot, probably missed it because he was triple teamed, or he was going to pass it. When that ball got passed and Aaron Harrison, who'd had a good game, went up for the three, I'm not saying I knew it was going to go in. I just knew that was the play. And I tell you what, time froze. In Lucas Oil Stadium, you could have heard a pin drop. I mean, you heard the net like swish when it went in. And I was on the opposite end. I sat in the 200 level, so I was on the opposite end of the court. But afterwards, it was just like, it was pandemonium, absolutely. And from then on out, you knew Kentucky had the game. There was like 53 seconds left, and you just kind of knew Kentucky was destined to win the game like the Wichita State game. It was just an amazing game. It was better than the regular season matchup. You know, I have to say, Russ Smith is a class act. I haven't always spoke well of Russ Smith, but, you know, the way he played in that game, he played his heart out to say nice things about Kentucky, to go visit the players in the locker room after the game. Absolute class act. Don't think you can say that about everyone that's on the Louisville Cardinal basketball team. There's quite a few players that I thought were pretty crappy. There's a former Kentucky head coach that was a whiny-ass titty baby. But overall, amazing game. I mean, that's Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant at WrestleMania for me. I mean, that's just body slamming him, and it was unreal. We just talked about how Kentucky won that game, but I still can't really even process it. Like, it's going to take me weeks to be like, this is how we won this game, or this is how they made this run. It's unreal how these freshmen are doing it. It's unreal.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Russ Smith thing. I was going to say something myself. I watched his post-game interview. It was about 6 minutes long. He was very gracious in defeat. Talked about the respect that he has for our program, for our coaches, for our players. I just thought that it was 100% class. I've reached out to a few of my friends who are U of L fans and told them that I was wrong about Russ Smith. You know, I just want to make sure that I say that publicly here. I was completely wrong about that kid. I think he is a class act. And, you know, I felt kind of bad for him, honestly, at the end of that game. He's
O-Line Grill is Wildcat Central for UK basketball games on TV. Grab your friends and get to O-Line to grab a bucket of domestic beers for $9 or other game time specials like 24 wings and two domestic buckets for just $30. If craft beer is your thing, O-Line has several taps too. Support the podcast and text O-Line to 72727 for a free appetizer. The O-Line Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport in Louisville's East Dade on the front line of UK sports.
We took their best shot. At the beginning of those games, they came out and they gave us their best shot. They threw everything they had at us. And it wobbled us a little bit, and you've seen this team do that all year. You know, they come out and dig themselves in a little bit of a hole, and I really thought that eventually that was going to come back to bite them. and I really thought I was going to come back to get him against Louisville. I think I felt worse going into the last 6 or 7 minutes of the Louisville game than I did either the Wichita or the Michigan game yesterday. But this team never quits. They never say die. I think their biggest attribute is how they do not give up. They're young, they're talented, but there's just something about this team that, you know, it's going to go down to the last second, and I think there's a little lady luck on their side. But it was just it's been a glorious week, and I'll tell you, when Luke Hancock went in from the wing there, threw down that two-handed dunk, that's when I really felt for the first time that maybe our little run was over. He used and abused James Young in that game. James Young did not have a good game at all against Louisville. Scored, I think, the first 5 points for Kentucky and maybe was the only player that had any points for Kentucky for almost the first 10 minutes of the game. But at that point, he got into foul trouble. He ends up fouling out. I really thought that was going to be the end of it, but this team fought back. Big plays from pointers there down the stretch, and as Cal said, he pretty much won the game for us. It was just something to marvel at. And one more thing I want to say real quick about that game too before I forget about it. Going back and watching the game again, I got to give some super props to the defensive job that Dominique Hawkins did on Russ Smith in the minutes that he was in there. I mean, Dominique committed some fouls and stuff, but if you go back and watch that game, he was getting Russ Smith frustrated. I mean, he was practically wearing Russ's jersey. So I just want to point out, I haven't heard anyone else really say that, but my hat's off to the job Dominique Hawkins did in that game against Louisville. He did a great job giving us a lot of minutes when James Young was out there struggling.
No, I agree wholeheartedly, and I agree with you saying that Louisville gave their best shot. I mean, absolutely gave their best shot to Kentucky. I will say Hawkins did play well on Russ Smith. Anytime he had to switch off on Luke Hancock, though, Hancock had a little bit of a size advantage on him. And so putting Porthers on Hancock, I think, for that last 4 minutes was as big as a defensive move, as a coaching move, as anything that Cal has done all year. I mean, you want to talk about tweaks, whether that was an intended tweak or not, that was key, because that frustrated Hancock. He was on James Young, about the same size. Then he had Hawkins, but Porthers has that extra length on him and really disrupted him. I think the only thing you can say is it's just a hell of a game. Randall with another double-double. Young started off hot, quote off. Aaron picked up where he left off. I mean, Dakari was... there's like five guys that you could say won the game for Kentucky. I know Cal said Poitras did it, and I don't doubt that. But, I mean, Dakari was the only guy making buckets when Louisville had that second-half run. It was just an amazing game.
And, yeah, you know, it's very gratifying to beat them twice in the same year. The first time with no Julius Randle in the second half after the man-sized first half that he had against Louisville in that first game. If you'll recall, I think he had 17, 18 points in that first half, kept us in that game. Then we find a way to beat them without him in the second half. And then to beat him again Friday night without Willie. I mean, Willie played about, 4 minutes in that game? Most part. So for this team to handle that adversity twice against their arch rival, and especially in a moment Friday night where there was so much on the line, you know, that's you just can't give them enough credit.
No, you absolutely cannot. Amazing game, amazing run so far. So then you had the Michigan. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say quickly, I think after the Louisville game Friday night, if you talk to 100 Kentucky fans, I'm pretty sure 99 of them would probably have said, you know what, that's our season. I don't even care what happens.
Yes,
is our season, and, you know, the rest of it is just icing on the cake.
That's exactly. Everyone walking out of that, now not everyone, but almost everyone I talked to walking out of that stadium Friday night said, we're good. You know what? you know, we had we tempered our expectations, you know, at the end of the season, and our season's not ended at the hands of our arch rival. We're happy. We ended their season. They will not win the national title. We're still dancing. You know, we don't want to lose to Michigan, but if we lost, wouldn't be the end of the world. We'd be content. I wouldn't say happy, but we'd be content. Here's the good news. Kentucky's still dancing. Kentucky's still dancing. That game against Michigan, I don't know about you, Chris, but I just had this confidence. I had a confidence going into the Louisville game, which I lost. I lost about an hour into it because I realized, yeah, this is a rivalry game. Anything could happen. The Michigan game I felt really, really good about because with no Mitch McGarry, even without Willie, they had no answer. Glenn Robinson is not the type of player that can handle Julius Randle. And you weren't going to put your center on Randle and leave. You know, they didn't match up well. It all came down to containing their three-pointers. Kentucky didn't do a great job of that. Funny thing is we pretty much answered. I mean, it was the opposite of the Louisville game. Couldn't really buy a three until the end in the Louisville game, but hit the majority of our free throws. Against Michigan, struggled at the free throw line, but was just bombing them, just matching them. And, you know, James Young hit a couple big threes that were just, you know, NBA threes, just out of nowhere. And the funny thing is everyone's talking about Aaron Harrison. Aaron played a bad game until the last 9 minutes. He played a bad game. He had foul trouble. He wasn't scoring. He wasn't really part of the offense. He had no role in that game until the last 9 minutes of the half, of the second half. He had none.
Yeah, Young, he had four three-pointers to count for all of his 12 points.
Right. So, and those all came. I think the majority of those came. I think he was scoreless at halftime. I'm pretty certain he was scoreless at halftime.
All 12 of his points came within, I think, the last 6 or 7 minutes. Maybe I'm off a little bit, but no, it was all crunch time buckets.
So the first half was a story of a little bit of Randall, a little bit of Young, Andrew Harrison's not playing awful, Marcus Lee, oh my God. Well, we forget this guy is a McDonald's All-American. I mean, he was a consensus top 30 recruit, and he's been sitting at the end of the bench. He's been sitting at the end of the bench. I mean, I'm not saying Marcus Lee would have scored 10 and had 8 rebounds a game, but he's not awful. I mean, he would start for the majority of Division I basketball teams, and that's our third center. And you saw it. I mean, the depth on this team is unreal. And Cal doesn't even touch it because Cal likes to play 7 or 8 guys. That's pretty much it. But we have unreal depth on this team if we can keep everybody. I'm afraid we're going to lose somebody because you got Willie, who's injured. That plays a factor into whether he's going to go pro. I don't think Dakari goes pro. I haven't seen any updated post or, you know, current NCAA draft boards. I don't know that Dakari goes. I hope he does not go. So then you're worried about Marcus Lee transferring, and you've got the current Gatorade National Player of the Year. Carl Towns was named the number one high school player in the nation. He's a center. You got possibly four guys. I don't know how you're going to play them. But you saw what Marcus Lee could do. It was unreal. Hawkins, once again, with an amazing defensive effort, in that game. It was one of those things where I felt I knew it was going to be close, but we never had that huge deficit against Michigan. We always answered. Michigan always answered as well because they're a three-point shooting team, and we really need to learn how to guard someone in the corner on a three-pointer. But outside of that, you kind of just knew. And the stadium Sunday was all UK. Indy was all UK. I mean, it was probably 98% Kentucky. It was Rupp Arena. It was a home game on Sunday, and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I think there was like 2 sections of Michigan fans, and then they were like scattered throughout the arena. I had a Michigan fan sit next to me. I guess he bought the Louisville guys tickets from Friday night. They were gracious. They talked crap too, but they were a lot more gracious. They were not as bad. Once again, an amazing game.
Yeah, like I said, they threw their best punch at us there at the beginning. Michigan is a really well-coached team. I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities between Michigan and Wisconsin. Coaching-wise, they are very sound. They know where they're supposed to be on the court. I think Michigan, talent-wise, athletically-wise, probably has an edge on Wisconsin. which makes me feel a little bit confident going into the Final Four. But yeah, to be able to beat a team like that in a high-stakes game, an Elite Eight game, that really makes me feel bad. Feel good about our guys, because I mean, if there was ever a game designed for a group of freshmen to lose, it would have been that Michigan game against a seasoned team from Michigan's young as well. But they made it to the championship game last year. They have an excellent coach, players with a lot of experience, and to be able to pull that off. I mean, honestly, watching that game yesterday, there were a couple times in the second half where we built a 5 or 6 point lead, and I almost said out loud, you know, if we get a defensive stop right here, I think we can break these guys. But I never said it, because obviously I'm superstitious and I knew we would have lost had I said that out loud. And we didn't get those stops. Michigan hit some big time shots in the second half to keep it close, to tie it up. But down the stretch, we really started to control them. Our inside presence, we started to take advantage of our guys in the paint. And, you know, again, Michigan just made some big shots. Glenn Robinson hit the big three, be there in the corner right when I thought that maybe we were going to take control of the game. And then come back down and get another bucket and make it a one-point game. But we answered. I mean, there was about a 4 or 5 minute stretch in that game yesterday that was about as epic as anything you could ever ask for in a college basketball game. Both teams were scoring every trip down the court. I think Michigan scored on 6 straight possessions. And then if you were able to get through that one series where Michigan and got 3 straight cracks at a 3-pointer that would have put them up by a point right down there with like a minute to go, if you were able to get through that without having a heart attack, you should feel pretty good about your heart. That was an excruciating 10 seconds to watch, let me tell you. I don't know how everyone was reacting to that at the stadium, I can imagine, but that right there, I mean,
yeah,
was about as gut-wrenching of a series that I've ever had to sit and watch.
Yeah, I can do a reenactment of every UK fan in the stadium for that. It was, no, rebound! No, rebound! No! Oh, rebound! I think I broke. I accidentally hit the table there. No, we're still good. Okay. But basically, that's. I mean, everyone's just yelling, and you're right. That was an insane, insane process right there. It was a miracle. I mean, it's just, it was grit. It was, that's just grit. I mean, I wish better defensive rebounding, obviously, grab it the first time, but that's just grittiness right there. Now we have to talk about the man of the hour, and that's Aaron Harrison. It can't be anyone else. And I want to kick this off. I don't know if you saw this quote. If you have not, there's actually a video of this on the Courier-Journal website as well. They asked Dakari Johnson what he said to Aaron Harrison, because he grabbed him. Him and Randall were grabbing Aaron after that big three-pointer, which, by the way, was an absolute FU shot. That is a LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant FU shot right there. That's what it was. And apparently, I thought that wasn't the play. I'm just glad he didn't leave in a lot of time. I was like, okay, we're going into overtime. And Jim Nance, I've listened to the call of that. Jim Nance didn't think it was going in either. If you haven't heard that call or listened to that isolated, that 20 seconds, it's amazing, because Nance actually thinks LeVert blocked it.
Deflected. Yeah, he said that shot is deflected and it goes in.
Right. The funny thing is he didn't deflect it, but he fouled the hell out of Aaron Harrison.
Yes.
If you go back and look at the close-up, that's a foul. But I understand the refs aren't going to call that. So it goes in, and the whole place erupts. I mean, it's unreal. But Dakari Johnson is asked in the post game, you know, what did you say to Aaron Harrison? And he was like, I didn't really say anything. What can you say? He was like, the guy has big balls right now. I think he said big nuts. He said, this guy, he's got big nuts right now. All the beat reporters laugh. And one of them squeaks out, you know, like, you know, can you quantify that? And Dakari goes, he can't even walk right now. So the quote is he's got big nuts. He can't even walk right now. Best quote of college basketball 2013-2014. I don't know that anyone is going to surpass that. That is Charles Barkley-esque. But it's right. I mean, he hits the nail in the coffin for Louisville, nail in the coffin for Michigan. I mean, I guarantee you, Wisconsin's not going to want Aaron Harrison to get an easy three. They're not going to leave him open for threes anymore because that dude's got ice water in his veins right now. He's got ice water in his veins. The Twins have come leaps and bounds, and we've talked all season. We're going to go as far as the Twins can go, and they're here now. I mean, they're here. They're playing. You've got Randall settling into being a double-double machine and not hurting the team as much. James Young's playing a role. Everyone's playing their role. I don't know what the tweak is or isn't, but this team has come together for the better, obviously not for the worse. And this is just amazing that Cal's done it. And I think all the credit has to go to Cal. I mean, everyone's been pooping on Cal since March. Since March 1st with that 40 article, which was an absolute hit piece. The New Republic, I don't even know the New Republic does. Why do they even do sports? The New Republic had an article, and the headline was, Calipari's Players First System Doesn't Work. And, like, the lead-in is, who's afraid of John Calipari? And basically the whole article was, no one should be. Well, I think that guy should rewrite that article. Because if you're not afraid of Calipari, three Final Fours in the last 4 years, four Elite Eight out of his 5 years at Kentucky, and he's doing it with a new roster basically every year. Holy hell, that's really scary. I mean, that's really scary.
Yeah, and that brings up another point that I was going to want to make. You know, all year long we've heard Rick Pitino talk about if today we're going to get back to the Final Four this year, then you're going to have to start talking about a little mini dynasty of Louisville. He was already counting on two Final Fours and a national championship, three Final Fours and a national championship, talking about a mini dynasty. And, you know, I kind of hate to tell Pitino this, but I think the dynasty is about 86 miles to the southeast, and it's in Lexington, Kentucky. And yeah, I mean, everybody wants to pick on Cal. Everybody hates Cal. Everybody thinks he cheats. Everybody thinks he's a slime bag. Everybody hates UK because Adolf Rupp was a racist and all these other bullshit, you know, cliches that everybody's always talked about with Kentucky. There's nothing but hate out there. They want to see us lose. It sickens everyone that we win. What are we doing? How are we doing it? We have to be cheating. And it's all a bunch of bullshit, honestly. And most of these people are embarrassing themselves by just being so consumed with the hatred that they have. It's an irrational hatred that they have for this program. These are a bunch of kids. You want to knock a bunch of kids for wanting to do what they love and get paid millions of dollars to do it, you know, it's stupid.
No, not.
Back to your point, whatever Cal has done down the stretch that has elevated this team's play, I don't know what it is. I honestly don't know what it is. Because, I mean, at the end of the regular season, this team reached a low point. I mean, they were at their absolute low point at the end of the season. And to be able to just flip the switch and do a 180 like they have, I mean, they played awesome in the SEC tournament. If you recall, they beat LSU, the team that they matched up horribly with, and they pretty much ran them out of the gym, if I recall. And then, you know, the real close game against Florida, and then just the way they played here in these last 2 weeks is unbelievable. What that he's done, it has worked like a
charm. Yeah, I think we're at the point now where you can no longer say that Coach Cal is just a recruiter. He cannot coach. He's not an X's and O's guy. He can't. He's not. That's garbage now. Now, maybe Cal's not going to draw up a play at the end of the game, but you don't have to with his offensive philosophy. And his ability to take new teams every year and play to their strengths. You know, I'm maybe this is biting off more than we can chew, but I have to wonder if Nerlens doesn't go down last year. I don't know that team could have made the Final Four, but it was a down year in basketball, and with the right draw, could they have caught fire? You just never know. I mean, in 2011 caught fire. This team has caught fire. You know, you just wonder what if a major injury. Away from maybe saying five straight Elite Eights, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what if. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there, you know, that can say what if. And I hate to kind of get into that, but you're exactly right. I mean, Nerlens going down last year absolutely changed the trajectory of that team. There's no denying that. I mean, I think that if Nerlens doesn't get hurt, they make the tournament, and whatever happens, then there happens. But one other thing I want to touch on as part of this narrative that we're on right now. I think every Kentucky fan needs to maybe take a moment and think about how profoundly important Friday night's victory against Louisville truly, truly was. It completely validated John Calipari's system and his philosophy on coaching or running a basketball program. Had we lost, it would have completely tarnished. I don't want to say tarnished. That's probably not the word I'm looking for. But it really would have called the one and done, or Cal's way of doing things, into question. Because that game Friday night was a battle of two different philosophies on how to run a program. It was the experienced program first, you know, that's Patino's way of describing it, but it was the seniors, the guys that have been around for a long time, versus the one and done, which is, you know, so controversial to so many people. And not only that, but had we lost, it would have been the hated Louisville Cardinals that exposed the one and done for what it was, and now we would have never heard the end of it about how it doesn't work. Your way of doing things is the worst thing ever for college basketball, blah blah blah. But we won that game, and I just think that we don't yet truly realize how important that win then was to just validate our program in the way that he does. I mean, I just think it's just so important. That win was so important beyond just this tournament. I mean, that's going to be that game, I think, is going to help us in recruiting so much. It's just going to be unbelievable.
Right, well, like Cal needs any help in recruiting. But no, I agree with you. It was a battle of wills. It was a battle of philosophies. Fair or not, that's what it was.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, think about it. We never would have heard the end of it.
No, and you know, it's really funny. All these Louisville fans, they've like deleted their Facebook and their Twitter accounts. I don't see from them. The city's been like a ghost town today. I haven't heard a lot from people. It's just kind of like, you know, sans the Courier-Journal, whose like front page has been, not their front page, but their online is like, is Harold going to stay early? You got a team in the Final Four, and you're writing about it. So besides the dumb like web editors at the Courier-Journal, who's like posted Louisville stuff all weekend, even after they lost, I haven't heard. I haven't seen too much. It's like, I don't even know. Does Louisville even exist? It's an important question right now. I think that's where I live. I think that's where we're taping this right now. But I don't know if it exists. It's awfully quiet around here. Maybe that's just spring break. But I think it has other things to do. Well, let's talk briefly about what's ahead. The Cats have made the Final Four. They're one of the four best teams in the nation. They have to dance with Wisconsin this Saturday. And we get the late game, which means CBS seems to think that the West Coast would rather watch Kentucky than Florida UConn. And I would have to agree with them. But Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is a church league basketball team. And I'm basing that on one reason. Because they're five white guys. And anytime I see five white guys on a court, I automatically think church league basketball. And I can say that because I'm white. And I played church league basketball, and our teams were all white guys, and that's Wisconsin. So how will Kentucky fare this weekend?
Well, I mean, as I said earlier, I think the fact that they can beat Michigan, it really made me feel good going into this Wisconsin game. Both teams very well coached. Both teams run like a very precise offense where everyone knows where they're supposed to be on the court. Their spacing is excellent. Real good passing teams. Just fundamentally sound and disciplined, but I think Michigan gets the edge talent-wise, and we were still able to beat
by the same thing. I think Wisconsin just has to play out of their ass to have a chance. Once again, they're going to have to hit three-pointers to win. Michigan was hitting some timely threes that kept them in the game. There's no doubt, and we're going to have to guard the arc in order to beat them. But I think the edge goes to us. I saw earlier today where Wisconsin only has a 1.5 rebound edge per game against their opponents. That doesn't bode well for them. Kaminsky's a big guy in the middle. I think we have an answer for him because we're going to send bodies at him in waves. Again, I don't know who on the team's going to guard Randall. Bo Ryan's going to figure something out. I mean, he's a great coach. Bo Ryan has a great story going into this game. If you didn't see his game manager, Craig Sager, he's gone to the phone for every year with his dad for like the last 45, 50 years. His dad just died last fall, so this was the first time he hasn't gone to the Final Four. His dad was also the first time that he's going to be coaching in the Final Four, so you're going to hear about that nonstop this week, which just, once again, is going to have everyone in the country rooting against it, which is fine. But I think Wisconsin has to play probably their best game of the year to have a chance with us, just because of, you know, we're playing so well right now, we're so big, we're so talented, that we're on such a roll. But I think it's going to just take Wisconsin's best game, and I have no doubt that we will see Wisconsin's best game of the year, as we have seen every team's best game of the year that we have played since back in November.
Right.
That's how it is when you're in Kentucky. And I think that's got a lot to do with why we're so damn good right now, is that all year long, just about every game we have played in has been like the last three games, because we are getting everyone's best shot. So I think these kids are kind of used to that by now.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, I agree with you. You know, it's going to hurt not having Willie. He's apparently probably not going to play in the Final Four, Cal said. Because Willie matches up. Willie's a finesse center, and Wisconsin center is a finesse guy. I mean, he can hit a three just as much as he can rebound and put it back. But, yeah, I mean, he's kind of a Willie center in that, you know, but if you're physical with him, he's got problems. So, you might see Marcus Lee on him a little bit. You know, Dakari obviously is going to be a challenge. That's two different philosophies. Wisconsin's a defensive team. I mean, the knock on them has always been that they can't score. And they're horrible in transition still, but they picked up their half court a little bit. So I think they can shoot the three like Michigan, not as well, but a little bit better offense than we've seen. And their center is mobile. He's kind of a finesse guy, which gives a lot of teams, especially in the Big Ten, fits. You know, they're used to kind of just hunkering down their center. Kentucky doesn't really have to worry about that unless Dakari gets in foul trouble. If we get their guys in foul trouble, either their point guard or their center, it is, because they rely heavily on those two guys. I mean, those guys play the majority of the game, and they rely so heavily on those two. So foul trouble to either one of them or both, you could see a blowout. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen. This team might finally run out of gas. You've played three games that are heavyweight fights. You might just run out of gas. You're in Lucas Oil is a big stadium, a big dome, but they only played it on one half of it. So the sight lines weren't that bad. They're going to play this court at the 50-yard line in Cowboy Stadium. Right, so we got a little bit of experience, but expect a bad shooting game, and that could favor Wisconsin, who's going to do half-court stuff, who's going to lock down on defense. It could be a problem. I could see that being an issue, but I think Kentucky is favored. I don't think the Vegas lines have come out, but they appear to be the favorite. The other half of the bracket is UConn and Florida, and I don't think we have any worries of having to see UConn, and if we do see UConn, I'll be ecstatic. If Kentucky can win, and I'm going to say if, I don't want to be too confident this far out, if Kentucky will win, it appears it's going to be Kentucky-Florida round four.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Awful hard to beat a team four times in the same year. I harken back to that 1986 Kentucky team that had beat LSU four times, and the fourth time LSU got
in the Elite Eight. Interestingly enough, the only two teams to beat Florida this year are Wisconsin and UConn.
Right.
And I believe UConn is the last team that beat Florida, and it was about 30 games ago. So, you know, I'm not going to count UConn out. I won't watch that game yesterday against Michigan State. That was a hell of a game, and they beat Michigan State at their own game. I was surprised at how well UConn put Dave Shabazz Napier is a badass. And those other guys, I mean, that's a good team. That UConn's team is, they really have surprised me with their run here at the end of the year. But, I can see them beating Florida. It wouldn't shock me. I would probably rather play UConn. I think it'd just be easier for us to beat them. I don't want to have to play Florida for a fourth time and have that in those kids' heads. But, I don't know. The way that we're playing right now, I think there's something special going on. So I really don't think that it even matters at this point.
Well, I hope you're right. I would love to bring – it would be improbable 2 weeks ago, even a month ago, to say that this team could win the 9th championship for Kentucky. Doesn't seem so improbable now. Would absolutely be a great story.
The guy who got the tattoo on his lip would be quite happy.
Yeah, I bet you he's being a real asshole right now. I mean, I bet you he's insufferable to be around, just intolerable. Well, I told you, he's still an idiot. I mean, he's still an idiot. He's all in at this point. He probably feels pretty good, but he's still an idiot. Never do that. Wait till they win before you get a tattoo, because those are hard to get rid of. Regardless, it's hard for me to process and really put into words what this team has come through, what they've become the last couple of weeks. These games have just been amazing games. I think from this point out, this is an unforgettable team. You know, I don't know what Cal's going to do in the future. Maybe he wins another title. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he wins 5 titles. Who knows? But, you know, I would have to think with this team making the Final Four, this is what Calipari got hired for. You know, Final Fours, 3 out of 4 years, 3 out of 5 if you want to do his whole tenure. Elite Eight, 4 out of 5, an injury largely kept him out of it. You know, this is what, 1 title already. This is what Cal got hired for. He's delivering. It's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. It's not going to be 40-0. We figured that out. This is what Cal was hired for. He's delivering. These players are delivering. It's been amazing. And Aaron Harrison's got nuts so big he can't even walk. It's been an amazing ride. Hopefully we're recording this next Tuesday, because Kentucky is hoisting the 9th national championship. If not, I hate to say it, I'm happy with where they're at. I mean, where this team went, how bad it got, where it is now. It looks like a good matchup. I'm super overconfident. But, you know, it's been amazing. Indy was amazing. You know, I might have to go burn Lexington down if we win on Saturday. Monday, I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. But it's just been an amazing ride.
You so poignantly have described the last week. And, you know, Kenny, I think we got to get out of here, because I think the Crunch Zone has to record their Lady Cardinals golf team preview episode now.
Yeah, they don't have any more basketball to talk about. I was worried about this a couple weeks ago. I was like, are we going to talk about spring practice? Spring practice has started for Kentucky football, by the way. It's like, are we going to talk about spring practice? Thankfully, we are not yet talking about spring practice. The Crunch Zone does have to. So, you got anything else for us, Chris?
No, just feeling good. It's a great time to be a Wildcat fan.
It definitely is. Definitely is. Listen to this as we always do. Go Cats!